Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algie, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy.
Welcome to another edition of Ages of Rock podcast. And this week we have Dave Moody with us. He is from the band Hairball. And we're glad to have him on. We had a listener that has been trying to get you on for a long time. And I got in contact with you over the last couple of weeks and we got it all worked out. So here we go.
glad to be here.
Finally, we've got a guest on the show that, in case we forget his name, he's got a name. He's got a name tag. Yeah, that is awesome.
He makes it easy. He has his name on his shirt and he has his name on front of him.
So the listener's name is Bruce Croak. So here you go, Bruce. Thank you, Bruce.
Bruce is a sweetheart. He's a nice fella.
There you go. Dave knows Bruce. That's a
nice guy.
There you go. No, I knew that he had probably run into you or talked to you at some point or other because he's been on this for a long time. Actually, for over a year, because he had talked about you were in a previous band and had talked to you about that at that point. So you're in Hairball now, but you've only been there for a short time, right?
About a year. I got an invite probably about a year and a half. I'm going to say a year and a half ago. Probably maybe a year and a half, but close to a year and a half. And I got a phone call, and, one of their singers was leaving the band, and they called me up and asked me if I'd be interested. And next thing I know, I'm sitting here doing a podcast with you. So here we go. it's been a whirlwind. So, but I'm very pleased where everything's landed and how everything's went. So very grateful for what I have.
Great. So the people that don't know and have never heard of Hairball, explain what kind of band it is and what you guys do and your presentation.
Sure. It's a bombastic celebration of everything rock and roll from like the 70s and 80s, meaning you're going to have full costuming. We got we got five video walls that are 15 feet wide and tall. We've had 30-foot pyro cannons that blow fire that'll warm your face up if you get too close. And then we've got more pyro than a Kiss concert. We do authentic costuming. Matter of fact, we do Kiss. We do Gene and Paul. We do, Alice Cooper, Dee Snider. It rotates on a wheel. There's three singers in the band, and the band that's up there stays up there. And the costuming is all authentic. And one minute you're going to see Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons. The next minute you're going to see David Lee Roth. The next minute you're going to see Alice Cooper and Dee Snider. You're going to see Vince Neil. You're going to see Steve Perry, Steven Tyler. You'll see, Brian Johnson, it just goes on and on and on and on. There's a plethora of costumes and outfits that we can wear. And when we come out, we do everything as authentic as you might think. Whenever you see it, it's big and over the top. There's explosions and bombs every time the show starts over every third song because you've got a new character coming out. And you just have to see it to believe it. When people hear about it for the first time, they go, well, that just sounds like a cover band. Bullshit. Come out and see it and tell me we're a cover band. We are a cover band, but at the same time, we're all about the show and we're all about delivering the goods. So I invite you to come out and have that same mentality after you see the show.
That's awesome. So you say, so having three singers, what people do you cover as far? I know you come out in makeup. I know you do I've seen some of your videos online and your Gene is spot on.
Thank you.
It looks really good. And
thank you. I do like all the raspy voice singers. I'll do, Gene. I do Kevin DeBrow, Quiet Riot, Tom Kiefer of Cinderella, Brian Johnson of AC/DC, Gene Simmons, of course, Alice Cooper, Blackie Lawless. You know, those kind of characters. And I'll do generally their biggest hits, you know, because it's very much geared towards the common fan and, you know, the common fan of the band. So you're not going to really hear too many deep cuts. But when you see the characters come out in the costumes and the outfits that you remember from MTV back in the day before they played video game bullshit, you know, that was what we grew up on. And that's what we try to bring out for the people and let them see, you know, the real deal.
Nice. So Dave, which of the five or whatever that you named off that you do you have one that's your favorite to do, or is there one that you really, or are they all pretty much even? I know that you were in the AC/DC band. So, I'm assuming that the Brian Johnson one is one you, it's kind of near and dear to your heart, but is that the one that's your favorite to do, or does it, you have one?
Well, every single character that I do was an influence on me. So, to pick one would not be right. You know, I mean, I love Gene. I mean, I grew up on Gene Simmons. To get to wear the war paint is the dream come true. To get to blow fire, you know, to get to wear the cod piece, I mean, Jesus, that's cool, you know. And to get to be Alice Cooper doesn't suck either. And you know, anytime you come out in one of those costumes, people immediately know who you are. Whenever I come out as Dee Snider, I look like a human car wash, but I come out there and give it the hell, you know, and it's a lot of fun, and people just have a ball with it. So, you know, for me to pick a favorite, I couldn't really do it. I just love seeing the looks on people's faces whenever you come out and a costume looks like what they remember, and they go, oh my God, look at the attention to detail. So it's pretty cool. All of them have the same effect. So to pick one that I like the most would be hard to do.
The next time I take my truck to the car wash, I'm just not going to be able to stop laughing.
You're thinking Dee Snider, yeah.
You just have to think of
that. Is
so, is there somebody you haven't done as part of the, or the isn't part of the show that you'd like to do? That somebody that you, that was a real big influence on you?
You know, if I had my druthers, it would probably be Lemmy. I would love to do Lemmy, because I think that he would be great. Now, he would be more of a visual than more of an audible character, though I am a deep cut hardcore Motorhead fan. A lot of people, well, I mean, I would say some people know Ace of Spades, but even then you probably would lose several people. So again, you don't want to serve yourself too much in these moments with this show. What you want to do is serve the greater population. So whenever you look out at, you know, 3, 5, 8, 10, 15,000 people, you want to make sure that the most people are being served at the same time, you know, so you don't want to serve yourself. And when you do that, that's the death knell. So try to get to the greater population and save Motorhead for whenever you're sitting backstage and you're in your underwear and you can sing Ace of Spades.
So that being said, I mean, I know that you have the signature band that's behind you and everything. Do you also play instruments? I know you do, like your vocals, like say with your Alice Cooper and your, you know, Dee Snider and your stuff, but you are on a player also then, right?
Correct. Yeah. I believe it or not, guys, I'm a bass player. and I have been for the longest time.
Well, Gene.
I've toured the world as a bass player. I played bass for Billy Ray Cyrus for like 10 years and toured the world. And I had local bands and I played bass in those. And one day somebody realized that I could sing AC/DC. And then, like I said, the next thing I know, I'm on this podcast with you talking about the vocals that I do. So, you know, in my very core, in my heart, I am a, I guess I'm whatever you need me to be. I'm a utility player. You know, I can do whatever you need me to do. I can play guitar. I play bass. I can sing. You know, I'm very blessed to be able to do all those things. But if I had my druthers of what I want to do, what I like to do, it would be bass playing, because I just love it.
Nice. Cool. So where are you guys based out of? Or do you guys actually fly in, or not fly in, but go meet up to these gigs? Or are you in one spot and then go to these places? How does that work?
Yeah, we have, you know, most of the band, you know, everybody lives in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's based out of there. And that would be our hub. And we have a Prevost bus and a semi full of, you know, again, come and see it yourself. We'll show you. It's a semi chock full of production for an arena show, so you can see what's going on out there. Basically, I'll fly up to Minneapolis and meet the bus, and then we'll take a little road trip and go to wherever we need to be. And it's a well-oiled machine.
Nice.
Cool. That is really cool. So you're not playing at like Joe's Bar down the street. You're not going to be doing that this weekend.
We're not above anything. I'm just saying we're probably not going to fit.
It's like, well, we got a 15-foot video screen. It's like going, I got a 4-foot stage. I don't think it's going to work.
No, we got 5 of those. And it is nothing's beneath us from that standpoint, but we outgrow things in life. And one of them has been the stages that we've played on. And now we're in, you know, we need a pretty big piece of real estate to set up what we've got. So it's pretty awesome.
So you've been in it for a year, you said. So how long has actually the Hairball Band have been established? How long has it been?
It's been together for 22 years. And that speaks to their, staying power and the power of this music and the stuff that we're playing. It's timeless stuff. And they started out as a spoof act, just kind of taking the piss out of the songs and having fun with it. And then one day they realized, hey, let's just put a little attention to detail here and, get real costumes and get real production and get serious about this and deliver it properly. And they did that. And then it shot off like a rocket. And, the next thing you know, it's one of the biggest touring acts that do what we do, in North America.
Cool. Have you guys gone overseas? You ever taken it overseas?
Before I was in the band, they'd taken it to London with the Minnesota Vikings, and they had toured Europe a little bit. And then they of course, Canada and Mexico. And I believe they did a few other things, but that was prior to me joining the band. But as COVID restrictions release or ease up a little bit and things start coming around, well, you can never say normal in this climate that we're in, this world that we're in right now. So whatever is normal that comes back, maybe we'll be able to do it again. And hopefully we will. We'd love to do that.
So when you came in, it was basically at the very end of COVID and then starting when they were getting back from the point where they were touring and then COVID hit. Was there a major changeover in the band, or was it just you? Or
It was just me. One of the singer that did the voices that I do, he just wanted to go. And maybe even retire a little bit because he had been with the band for so long, I guess. And, when they called me and, that's what happened. So I was the only changeover from a band member standpoint.
I got you. So the video that we've seen, I've seen recently, it's been on, of course, on YouTube for a long time, but for a couple of years, the Paul Stanley, the Hair Catching Fire, that was Hairball, right?
Yeah, that's the actual guy that I took the place of, and kudos to him.
And that was his hair, right?
Oh yeah, he stood there and took it, stayed in character and did his bit, and that's the part of this band again, that I tell everybody all the time. You hear people say, well, they're just a cover band. No, come see it. Come see the real deal, it's all live. It's 100% real. When your hair catches on fire, you go ahead and keep playing. I learned that quick, fast, and in a hurry. Whenever I started blowing fire as Gene, I was like, well, there's a chance that you're going to catch on fire here. So just roll with it, but that's what we do, it's pretty amazing. And like I said, kudos to him because that just shows total professionalism.
I just saw that video here recently. And like you said, he acts like he knows it's hot. And guy puts, as soon as he puts out his hair, he's like, gives that rock fist. And I'm like going, like I said, that is a rock star right there. I mean, that is absolutely a rock star.
That's rock and roll, man. That's how you got to do it. Show must go on.
So as far as breathing, I'm sure being in an AC/DC group beforehand, you didn't blow much fire in that band at that point. So how did you learn? And is this something you learned on your own? Had somebody train you to do it? How did that happen?
Well, they don't, they stopped giving fire breathing classes as far as I can tell.
There's a legal thing on that.
There's not a lot of places you can go to learn how to do that. So, but I did have a buddy that, and his name's Mike Collins. He plays for Mr. Speed, and he does the Gene bit. And I called Mike and I said, "Hey, this is what's going on. I need a little guidance here." Right. And we went out into a parking lot in Ashland, Kentucky. He was getting ready to play a big theater there. And he brought his kit with him, his sword and his paraffin oil that he uses as the combustible. Right. And he kind of looked at me and he said, you look a little nervous. And I go, "Well, I'm getting ready to put fire in my mouth. Yeah, I'm a little nervous." And he goes, "That's good." He goes, "That's going to keep you safe because you respect it." And he's right. So we sit there and I blew fire about 20 times and, it got more and more comfortable and more comfortable. But the real test is when you're in front of 5,000 people and they get all their camera phones out and you got to do it then, but that even then it's totally, you isolate yourself and you block yourself off from the moment. You pay attention to the flame and what you got to do and you do it. And, that's how, it's called being a pro.
And it's a good way to do that. Like I said, we know Rich Kosak from, Mr. Speed. He's been on here a couple of times. He's a great guy. But I mean, that's the thing though. Find out, do it from, learn some, from somebody who actually does it every night or not every night, but every performance. Sure. Mm-hmm. And like you said, learn the right way to do it. Be scared of it. Be right. I wouldn't do it. I'd be scared shitless. That's it. Alan right. couldn't do it because his whole beard would go up in flames, so he can't do it.
That's why he has the beard.
Because I can never be and he's a bass player too, so he can't. Right. So how's your schedule though? Sorry.
So besides catching yourself on fire trying to breathe fire, have you ever had any other Spinal Tap moments with either this band or like the AC/DC tribute band? Was it Thunderstruck?
Well, I mean, the reason, it was Thunderstruck. The reason why that movie is so great is because it hits so close to home. It's all real, all that stuff actually happens. The gaffes and the silliness and the absolute ridiculousness that goes into rock and roll and what we do was represented very well by that movie. So yes, we've had very much some Spinal Tap moments. To think of one though would be kind of hard pressed. I will tell you this: the second time that I blew fire, we was in an arena full of people. It was the Ralston Arena in I think it's Omaha, Nebraska. And I blew the fire, and when I did it, a big flame came out, but I had a little excess paraffin in my mouth, so I spit it out on the stage. Now, these stages are naturally slick anyway. That's just the nature of it. They just are. So I spit it out and did my bit and threw the sword in and walked off stage like Godzilla and did my whole bit. And everybody loved it and cheered. Well, a few characters later, I had to come back out. So I come back out and I'm doing Kevin DeBro. And he's a very physical character. And a lot of running on stage, a lot of screaming and a lot of just getting the crowd amped up and really into it. And I'm doing my bit and I'm wearing wrestling shoes, which give you a little bit more of a grip, but can be a little slick too. And I took a step back on this big stage and I was just, doing a couple of moves and I hit a slick spot and I went assholes and elbows up in the air and just hit the ground and the mic went crack. I mean, it just boom, you just hear it all over the place. And I hop back up real fast, like a cat, but yeah, I hit really, really hard. So, those are moments that happen, and things that do happen out there are a lot of them are funny. Some of them I can talk about, a lot of them I can't. You just laugh, you know, and I'm blessed to have those moments in my life because I just laugh because you can't make this shit up.
And it was,
I had to work every day.
And Dave was probably an SM58 and you just picked it right up and it worked right after you got it up off the floor.
No,
right?
it was a very expensive Sennheiser and it had a nice little bruise on it. And, you know, so it's okay. It's hey man, I'll fall 1,000 times going for one cool move. You know, it doesn't bother me at all.
That's great. You
know, I'll look like an idiot going for something, which 9 times out of 10 I do, but that's okay.
That's great. So how's your guys' schedule looking? Are you guys booked up for the whole summer? Got a lot of stuff coming up?
Yeah, we do about 130 shows a year. We're getting ready to get into the meat of it. I'm leaving next week. I'm going to be gone for 3 months straight. Going to be out on the road. We'll do at one point 28 shows in 30 days. We're going to be doing Sturgis. We're going to be doing just major arenas. We're going to be doing big, huge festivals, thousands and thousands of people. And it's just a blessing and, you know, awesome to be able to say that this is my job.
That's great. So I guess your summers, your meat and potatoes because of the festivals and everything. I'm sure that's.
Well, we play every week. Right. You know, we play at least 3 shows a week. But once you get into the summertime, it's you're on fire. You ain't got to. My summer goes by like that.
You got to pay for those 5 video screens.
Yeah,
those things are cheap.
yeah, they're not. They're not cheap.
That's awesome. Like I said, I've been watching a bunch of your videos this week. Whenever I finally got a hold of you and got you on here, I've been watching a lot of your videos and stuff. The show looks extremely entertaining. I mean, like I said, I would love to see one. I'm envious of Alan to be able to see a couple of them. And like I said, everybody should go out and see you guys. I think it looks like. So when you do the characters, I kind of noticed through the videos, you do like maybe what 2 songs per character just to. And then you go to the other characters, basically what you're doing.
Yeah, we like to keep it moving. You want to do, you know, a couple songs, the biggest hits that they had,
sure.
And or biggest hits that they might have had. And, you know, you want to just kind of keep it moving, you know, and sure. Keep the show interesting. That way it keeps you guessing. If you don't like, you know, we're a rock and roll smorgasbord. If you don't like what you see, wait 2 songs. We got something for you. You know, and that's usually the way it works. And usually we say it all the time. We're not a ham. We're the whole pig. And we try to deliver on that a lot. You know, so what you see is a total spectacle. And we're glad to bring that to you.
Sounds like a little bit of some Kiss references there. I heard.
Absolutely.
If that wasn't a Paul Stanley thing, I've never.
Kiss University.
That's right. Well, I have to say, you know, you guys were in Evansville. It was just a few months ago, and I had to miss your show because I was playing in a bar across the street from you guys that night.
Oh.
How many people were there, Alan?
You couldn't make it.
That's why you had 4 show? Less people.
Yeah.
I'm in a country band, so that place was packed.
Yeah, yeah.
2 different audiences.
I love country. Now, is it new country or old country?
It's mostly new country. We do.
I'm out.
We do. Well, you know, the funny thing is, you know, we do 3 songs from the 90s, which gets the response from the people my age. But most of the what they call bro country or country rap or tractor rap or whatever, most of it I've noticed, like we do several Jason Aldean songs. That dude is an AC/DC fan. You listen to any of his songs, and he's stealing from Angus.
Yeah.
You know? But it's a lot more, the songs that we do are a lot more rock and rollish than some of it's crap. I don't like Florida Georgia Line, and we do like 3 or 4 of their songs. But those 21-year-old girls love those songs, and guys keep buying them beer, and the bars keep bringing us back. So,
well, there you go. You can't complain about that.
You do what you got to do.
And you get tips out of the deal, right?
Oh, yeah. Our tip bucket always has like $100 in it.
You have a tip bucket?
Yeah.
We never had a tip bucket.
Well, why? You fucked up there, buddy.
I've been to your shows, Dennis. I know why you didn't have a tip bucket.
People are asking for their money back easily.
That's exactly right. Go to the bar and go, I want my beer money back because this is freaking horrible.
No, it wasn't that bad, but anyway.
So Dave, what were some of your influences? I mean, what got you into rock? Is it you've been metal fan for, you know, all your life and just all that, or is it something you've kind of got into lately? Or I assume a lifelong thing.
Well, just like your Kiss sign behind you, I grew up a huge Kiss fan, and my first album ever was Destroyer. And at the age of six, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. Whenever I saw that album cover, I just went, "Oh, this is it. This is what I'm going to do." And they thought I was joking. So I wasn't joking. This is exactly what I wanted to do with my life. I knew it. But my influences range from everything from Johnny Cash and Merle Haggard and Waylon Jennings and, you know, David Allan Coe and, you know, all the classic country, Buck Owens and Mel Tillis and, you know, just go on and on with Charlie Pride and all those guys to Slayer, you know, and I love Frank Sinatra and I love, you know, I love those kind of people. And so I got a pretty big palate when it comes to music. And but my favorite to listen to play would be rock because of the energy and the power of it. But I can find that same energy and power in anything that I listen to if it moves me. You know, like I said, I can sit and listen to Fly Me to the Moon 1 minute and then, you know, Rain in Blood the next, you know, and go, man, I can feel the same energy off of both songs and go, man, dude, did you feel that? That was great. You know? So, I'm blessed in that manner too, where I was able to have that palette that was opened up and I could listen to it and go, oh man, that's cool. You know, it moved me, you know? So yeah, that's where I come from. Those are my influences and my roots and they're steeped in everything. And I wouldn't change a thing about it. You know, I'm equal parts David Lee Roth and Kerry King, you know, I mean, I'm not going to apologize for it.
Yeah, that's good. There are a lot of people that are very narrow focused, narrow minded with stuff. And it's like, sure. Hey, you got to open
and
up.
There's nothing wrong with that. If you know what you're like, I got a buddy of mine.
My shit goes everywhere, you know.
Yeah. I got a buddy of mine that all he'll eat is McDonald's, you know, and that's fine. That's his name. That's what he likes. He knows what he likes. He knows what he likes. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you can take great comfort in knowing that you're going to be consistent in your day, you know? So that's good. If you don't want to take any chances on anything else, cause you found what you like. It's like Johnny Cash always said, one time, an interviewer asked him, says, what do you think about all these guitar players that, you know, are speed players and fast pickers and this, that, and the other. And he says, well, you know, while they're busy looking for their notes, I found the three that I needed, you know, so and he made a pretty good living out of it, didn't he?
He did all right. He did all right up to the end. He did all right.
He did great. He had a very full existence.
He did.
So Dave, being a musician, as far as, like you said, being a bass player and whatever, playing guitar and stuff, was vocal something that you did early too also, or is that something that you came along later in your career?
I didn't start singing in a band or being a front man until 2015.
Wow.
And yeah. And like I said, it just happened. I'm just as shocked as you are. So, it just happened. And I was a front man on bass. So it really, that part of it never really bothered me. And the vocal part of it, I could always do AC/DC. But the actual, you know, different characters and different voices and things like that's something that I had to kind of develop, but you know, it's all meshed so well. And, the guys in the band have just been nothing short of stellar and supportive and, you know, and helping me and going, you know, try this and this is what I do. And, you know, and helping you with characters and the mannerisms and the movements and going, hey, this is a move and use this move. And, you know, and do this. And it's helped out a lot because, like I said, I truly was not a front man ever until like 2015.
Wow. So being that there's three singers in the band, do you ever have an issue where you go, hey, I'd like to, you get like a new character or a new person or a new band you want to bring in? Is there any like wrestles for, I want this one or I want this one, you know, is there any of that?
No, at the end of the day, you know, for me to come in and they're so successful. The band has been so successful. I just kind of cede the floor to them. You know, they know more about characters and they've probably done characters that worked or didn't work. And, you know, they probably have run the gamut on things. So anything that they want me to do or want me to try, I just say, okay, let's go ahead and give it a shot. You know, so it's pretty easy to just let them guide the ship. And I'm along for the ride on that.
So in those characters, you know, have they offered you a song or a character to try out that you just didn't do well with at all?
No, I'll try anything. you know, Dave, we think you can do this, or Dave, we think you can do that. Okay, I'll give it a shot. You know, no problem. I'm not scared of anything. If it works, it works. And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Well, that's what I was getting at. Did you try something that did not work?
You know, I can't think of one. The ones that they threw at me, I believe that they knew that, hey, this could be a strength for you. This fits your voice. This is a character that will work for you. So they didn't put me in the situation to be Steve Perry. You know what I'm saying? they didn't ask me to sing really beautiful and pretty, or they didn't ask me to do David Coverdale or anything like that. They knew that I sound like, you know, like I gargled gravel, you know, sort of like go out there and do that. So they keep me in my box. So, you know, they allow me to do the characters that I can do well.
Well, it sounds like, you know, being that the years that they've done this, that they, you know, with the three different singers, you've got you with the gravelly voice that could do that type. You've got your people that can do the Steve Perry type stuff. And then you got your, you know, whatever the third one is, you know. So I'm sure that they've got their wheelhouse is filled. So whatever they bring in, they can say, hey, you can do this, or you can do this, or you could do this, you know. And
sure, yeah, they know what's up, you know, and they, like I said, they've been in business for 22 years. Yeah. So they've done a lot of characters and, you know, they know pretty much what's going to work. It's like McDonald's knows that, you know, the Big Mac is going to be good. You know, it's going to be good. Just eat it, you know, so.
And your friend will eat it because that's the place he likes.
Actually, you don't like Big Macs, surprisingly enough. It's weird.
That's good.
It's just different guy.
He's probably a quarter pounder guy.
Dave, how often does a set list change? Does it change very often?
Well, the great thing about the band is they're very up to date on their set list. So let's say that we come to Evansville again, and I know that we're coming to Evansville again here very soon. Probably in the fall is when we're coming to Evansville, but that set list has been saved on a computer. So they'll look at the set list and go, okay, we need to add this character this time. We need to do this one this time. Let's change the show up. You do it like this. This is how we're going to do it. And we are constantly checking that set list to make sure that we change the show up for the people.
That would be awesome.
Nice.
And Dave, like I said, whenever we get off and everything, we'll get your information and everything. But when you guys are going to be in Evansville, let us know in advance, because I do want to get tickets for that show. And I want to see you guys do, you know, I want to see you guys play, because the people that I know that have seen you guys in Evansville have talked nothing but good things about you guys. Instead of just a fantastic
very
show.
Very humble by that.
Fantastic show. Cool. But, all right. Alan, Bill, you got anything else?
I don't think so. I think we covered it all. Adam,
he's pretty good at this. He's
done this before.
He knows.
Well, he's off here though.
He's got the name tag. He's got the name tag, and he's got the shirt. He like I said, he's already ready for this.
He is skilled.
You're my fourth interview today.
Are you skinny? Well,
Wow. Yeah, I do a lot of interviews.
Where were your funnest though? That's what we want to know.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
He said that three times. He said that three other times already.
He did. So,
yeah. Yeah.
He's very well rehearsed.
Dave, pimp the online presence of Hairball.
Please.
It's hairballonline.com, and it's all things Hairball. There's merch on there. There's also show dates and show updates. There's videos and pictures. And again, you could get all things Hairball online. And then, of course, our social media presence is Hairball on Instagram. And then it's Hairball on Facebook. So just feel free to look at any of those social media presences or the online on Hairball Online and just come over and have a good time with us. We'd love to see you at a show. I promise you this. I mean, when you come to the show, we're going to have something for you. And you're going to have a big time because we refuse to not let you have fun. Our intention is to burn your eyes out of your head, make your eardrums bleed, and leave you sticky, broken, confused the way an 80s show should. We're there to make you just lose your mind and have fun. We don't allow any negative energy in our shows. We don't allow anybody to come in and not have a smile on their face. So we're going to push you up against the wall, and you're going to have a good time whether you like it or not. So
perfect.
Come on out and let's have some fun. And we don't meet strangers. We just have friends we haven't met yet. So everybody, come on out. Let's have a big time.
I did notice on your page you had the video of you playing. You were a Gene, you had a Paul, and you had the David Lee Roth doing Charlie Daniels backstage at the thing. And it's great. That's the greatest thing when you're sitting going, "Oh yeah!" about every 5 seconds. And I'll tell you what, and that little trill you do with the bass and the guitar, I go, "Dude, do, 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 do." You just you hammered it. I'm like, going, "That's fucking awesome."
you know what's funny about that is that I brought them that idea. I said, listen, I know this is going to sound stupid, but if we do this right, it's going to be great.
It's funny.
Or it's going to be horrible. It's going to be one of the two. But either way, I'm willing to land wherever you all are if y'all willing to do it. And I told them about it, and they just started laughing their ass off. They go, yes, that's it. So I taught the Paul Stanley guy the song. And the David Lee Roth, he gets up there, and the way he's standing on a workout bench.
Right.
Backstage, and we look like mini Kiss because we're below him. And it just all came together. It is so.
And you got that stance. You're doing. You're like the demon thing. And then the Paul guy is doing kind of the leg, kind of underneath the thing, and the acoustic and shit.
Yeah, he does the pretzel. It's so.
That's
funny.
The funniest shit ever. If you go to so Dave's, funny. go to Dave's your website or your Facebook page has it actually. Yeah. If you look it up, so it's fucking.
It is pretty daggone fun. Pat myself on the back on that.
I'll pat you on the back for that one.
It's pretty stupid. Pretty epically stupid. So if you want to laugh, go ahead and go see that. That just goes to show
exactly
that we don't take ourselves so seriously. And, you know, we're just knuckleheads and fans like you. And we just wear more makeup than you do. So and spandex and we look like Muppets. So there you go. It's a lot of fun.
Cool. Awesome.
All right, Dave, hang tight as I take us out of here. Y'all visit us on agesofrock.com. Check out our past episodes and social media links. And until next time, peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.